What is up, everybody, and welcome to the All-NBA Show, part of the All-City Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam Mattes. Tim Legler's got the weekend off. He is back next week as we head to the play-in. So I got the next best thing, a self-proclaimed fun guy, basketball coach, podcast producer, and host. It's Dave DeFore.
I don't know about self-proclaimed. I'm you more just repeating. Said it. I mean, I'm repeating what other people say. You know, I'm just passing along messages here. I'm a proverbial bottle in the ocean.
There you
just
go.
Passing along the message that yeah, I'm fun.
To be clear, I think Dave's a fun guy too. So Dave DeFore, fun guy, according to me. Dave, we got some fun games today. Actually, we just have one game to go over, the Pelicans and the Kings, but we're going to get into contender tiers. How hot? Before we haven't even discussed this. We haven't prepped. You spoke like one sentence and it was scorching hot to me. But how hot do you think your contenders tiers list would be?
I mean, maybe not that hot, to be honest with you. Just because I only have one team there. You know what I mean? I watched these guys. I've watched these guys for years. The Nuggets, obviously. And Adam, you know, like, I mean, I have like a rooting interest in the Nuggets because the better the Nuggets do, the better Adam Mattes does.
Man, my and, guy.
So, you know, Jokic should be working on his fourth MVP right now. But this team has just been together for so long. And I happen to value chemistry above everything else.
Me
I think
too.
Chemistry trumps talent even. But not only are they the team with the most chemistry, but I think they have maybe the most talent too, you know, especially in that top five. Somehow Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is completely overlooked, and he could be their third best player, right?
I think that's
on the night,
but he's really good.
On the
he's
night.
Really good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it depends on the night. I mean, I just think like when you have five guys like that in the starting lineup, and now like they just played together so long. So I don't think it's hot to say, oh, they're probably going to win the title.
Yeah,
but maybe it's hot to give no one else a chance. I just don't know how you beat this team.
I just remember in like 2018 or 2017 with the Warriors and KD and all that, and they win 67 games. I think Vegas, their odds of winning the title were at like 40%. And the field was, that was the highest by far of any team.
Oh, yeah.
But the field was still better than 50%. And I just think the Nuggets aren't the 2017 Warriors. So their odds are still, the field is still more likely than the Nuggets. But we'll get into all of that. We'll talk about the tiers. I have, I think, five or six different tiers that I put everyone in. So we'll get into all of that. We're also going to ask just what's the story of this season. So a lot to get to today. We are presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the Sportsbook app. Use promo code ALLNBA because later in the show, you're going to hear more about what they have to offer. DraftKings, the crown is yours. All right, we're going to talk first, Dave, about this game that happened last night. There's only one game of major consequence last night, and that was the Pelicans beating the Kings for the fifth consecutive time this year, not just four times like usual. They got them a fifth time this year thanks to the play-in, 135-123. My take on this one, Dave, Zion was 31 points. He was fantastic, got buckets every time they needed one. The game got false close. It was a 20-point game. It got fake close for a while there down the stretch. But Zion scored every time because Harrison Barnes is the power forward for the Sacramento Kings. Any team that has a Harrison Barnes-sized power forward is going to get absolutely roasted by 300-pound super athlete Zion. That's my take.
I mean, that's a pretty good take. And especially when you're trying to defend the paint with Domantas Sabonis, because the Kings have that Sabonis ceiling on them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are only going to get as far as he can go. And he's a very good player, but I don't think he's the guy that, you know, is going to get him to the next place. Zion, the big takeaway for me is the defense,
yeah.
Right? He looks so good. He looks so healthy. He looks so engaged. This is the first time we've gotten a chance to see Zion playing like this at this time of year. I have more belief in the Pelicans because of the way that Zion looks physically. If Brandon Ingram can like actually get out there and contribute and is healthy, they're trouble in the first round for Oklahoma City. Cause that's looking like, I mean, if that's the matchup because
like
of,
it.
I mean, Zion's like the bulk that he has, this is a thing that Oklahoma City can struggle with. Also another big takeaway from that game. They've figured out a way to get Jonas Valanciunas important minutes again. He had gone, his minutes since the All-Star break had been dropping. Like, you could tell they're working out what our playoff rotations are going to look like. And Jonas, I think, was on his way to about 10 minutes a night, maybe 15 in the playoffs. Yeah. And he played 30 plus minutes last night against a playoff team. I think that's big. So, because they're going to need him, especially in the first round series against the Thunder. That's a huge advantage for them to have Zion and Jonas. So getting Jonas to be, you know, kind of with the team and back together is important. But Zion looks like the Incredible Hulk. And that's the biggest thing to take away from that game. I mean, he looks great. Yeah. Just activity on defense that we've been begging for. It's rules. Like, it's great. I can't wait to see him in the playoffs.
But do you think so? Because I agree with you about last night, but I wouldn't say that the Pelicans have figured out their Jonas, how they're going to use him. I think he is pretty circumstantial. And last night they had the perfect setup. And this is why I think they're 5-0. If you can say Sabonis and Valanciunas, all right, that's going to force you to play power forward versus power forward. You know, if teams are able to go differently or play big, or they have like even an Aaron Gordon who's big enough, not as big as Zion, but big enough to match up a little bit, then Valanciunas gets cooked or he's, you know, he's vulnerable. But if you can say, okay, Harrison Barnes is going to have to guard Zion, that's a win for us. We don't care what happens. Valanciunas, you're going to play just to occupy the center, and we're going to dominate that matchup. And that's why I love that you brought up Oklahoma City. That's why it's so interesting to me is Oklahoma City is a lot like Sacramento in that they have a center, Chet Holmgren, although he's even undersized from Sabonis, but they have him. And then they want to play Jalen Williams or Kenny Hustle at power forward. Zion's way too big for both of those guys. That's a non-option. And that's why last night's game and the fact that they went 5-0 is so interesting to me is because it to me feels a little bit like a preview of the vulnerability OKC would have in that matchup.
I will say OKC and New Orleans played not that long ago. And I feel like Jonas only got 11 minutes in that game.
He didn't
right?
play.
Like, he didn't get a run. They played him off the court. And this is what OKC is banking on in the playoffs. Yep. They are banking on the fact that their shooting is going to hold up and that their pace is going to just crush the other team. And when you've got Shea and you've got Jalen Williams, I mean, that's two Batmans, in my opinion. Yeah,
I agree.
Especially in the clutch, man. Like, I put them right behind the Nuggets as far as a crunch time team. It's them, the Mavs, and the Nuggets are my top three crunch time. And because you've got guys that can just go get you a bucket, when they turn off the Shea valve, that's when Jalen Williams really starts going, you know, into games. And so, you know, I think that their goal is going to be, we're going to play, you know, we're going to play as fast as we can. We're going to try to shoot Jonas off the court. Try to make them play Zion as the five is really what they want. Or maybe, you know, Larry Nance or whatever. But I think that for the Pelicans, figuring out ways to keep Jonas on the floor means they're going to win the series, right? Like, the more he plays, the better off they I think, are likely to be because they will have that size advantage.
I agree. And it would be interesting to see who blinks. I will say, when you talk about if you're going to go big against a small team, so I get like we're previewing a series that might not even happen right now in OKC and New Orleans. But it's fun to think about because I think it explains both teams' strengths and weaknesses. Valanciunas is a true center in that he has no chance at guarding the perimeter. He's one of the worst. In fact, there was a blow-by in the fourth quarter last night where he closed out on Harrison Barnes, and it was the slowest blow-by in the history of basketball. And yet he blew right around him for a left-handed layup. This is why Valanciunas gets played off the floor, is you're so scared of how vulnerable he's going to look out on the perimeter guarding even a Josh Giddey, let alone a Shea or a J-Dub. So he's real vulnerable there, but you just have to pound him on the boards. You have to pound him inside. And I think that was one of my notes was a couple weeks ago or it was a week and a half ago when they played and Val didn't play. I thought, that's interesting. I might, if I were them, have tried to stick with it just to say, if we lose, at least we'll have that data for the playoffs rather than go away from it so quick and see if there's anything there. But back to this game. Go ahead.
I think this is a side effect of the play-in, right? Like they need to win games, right? So you just got to – like they've been in playoff mode for about a month.
Yep.
They want to avoid that play-in game. And I don't blame them. They're not built to win one game. I don't know if they're built to win a series, but they definitely are not built for one game. I mean, I've seen them – they've blown too many games this season that I felt like they should win.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about them.
They're two-faced. Right? They're the most two-faced team in the NBA. I've said it all year. The Pelicans look like contenders and, you know, non-playoff teams in equal measure.
It's true. It's true.
The other guy that's interesting in this game is CJ McCollum, because he goes 9 of 12. He was on fire from three. He's tasked with carrying the second unit oftentimes for them. When Brandon Ingram comes back, that probably provides a boost there. But there's some numbers out there about CJ McCollum, and I had this number on our show earlier in the week or last week about when he scores 30, their record is insane. When he scores 20, their record is really, really good. To me, he is another one of these ultimate bellwethers. But this is why the Brandon Ingram piece is so interesting to me, is sometimes when a guy's gone, not even for that long, but gone for a little bit, you develop an identity and, okay, this is what we're going to be. And now with the idea of Ingram coming back, CJ McCollum is so important to their scoring in those minutes. And last night he provided it and they get an easy win. But does that complicate things when Brandon Ingram comes back? Because he's better suited to that role, but he hasn't been doing it.
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think that Ingram's scoring is great, but he doesn't lift anyone else up with his scoring. Yeah. And that's a problem for them. He almost could be the guy that's leading the second units and able to get you a bucket. Whereas CJ McCollum can do it, but I think he's better off playing off Zion or playing off of Ingram or whatever. That's going to be an interesting thing to figure out. Like, what is their identity? Because he's coming back. I guess he's coming back this weekend to get a game in before the playoffs. But what does the rotation look like when you haven't had a guy available? This is the problem with the Pelicans every year, right? Like, it's always something. Someone's out of the lineup. They, you know, what's the chemistry going to be like when they make it to the playoffs or if they make it to the playoffs? Right. And this year they've made it. I don't know, man. I don't know the answer. I think that CJ is best suited now with the ball out of his hands. I think, like, almost like a Fred Van Vliet sort of role, without the defense, but he can really cook you, cook the opposing defense, like, if you need him to. Zion, like, using him as a release valve almost, where he can be the second action in after a drive by Zion, has been super effective for them. Right. But Brandon Ingram can fill those same spots. Like, I think Ingram, because his shot diet is so good, right? Like, he shoots so many threes now, and he can hit the mid-ranger. I don't know if it's going to be a huge schematic change for them, but I think Ingram's going to steal touches from CJ. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at here, is CJ, where he just gets to be the gunner. You're right that there's not a whole lot that spirals off it, but that's why it works in a stagger lineup, because it's like, hey, we're going to live or die with this guy making baskets, and he makes them more often than not. So that's a strength there. But once you add Ingram to the mix, it's like, okay, you got to play a little differently now. And that's why I'm saying now you almost have to adjust on the fly. They've done it before, so it's not like they haven't played that way. But sometimes it's tough when you get a rhythm going one way and then you got to change it up the other way. Let's go quickly to the Kings, though. So, I mean, they're just, to me, I just have a hard time envisioning any of this working out nicely for them, because they play too many bad players. You know, with the two injuries to Monk and Herter, you're giving minutes to Vasenkov. You're giving minutes. I mean, they didn't play Duarte a lot last night, but he's been in the mix a little bit. There's just too many guys. And every time they go to those lineups, I just feel like it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah. Look, man, they are a very high floor, but the ceiling is like 2 inches above the floor. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, this team just, they're kind of stuck. The Sabonis thing, like I said, the Sabonis ceiling is a real thing for this team. You mentioned Harrison Barnes as their four. I'm sorry. That's just not good enough anymore. It just isn't. Not unless your three is a dog, you know, that can handle Zion.
Who is the three that handles Zion in the league?
Kawhi.
Dog? Kawhi Leonard. Okay.
Yeah. Right. But Kawhi is like, I don't know. That's a bit unfair, right? To dogs. But I think that, I don't know, man, they're a team that I do not believe in, and it's fully justified. I mean, we know what they're going to be if they make it out of the play, which do you trust them in one game?
No, I don't. And honestly, I think they're going to fall in the standings to where they would have to win two anyway. I feel bad for the Kings, man. Last year, just a tough, heartbreaking the way the playoffs went. And then you go this year and it's looking like they're going to end up either in the play-in as the 8 seed, which would be lucky at this point, or they're going to fall to a 9-10 and get the death kill from the Lakers or the Warriors, which for them is the worst teams you want to lose to if you're a fan base of those teams. So I feel for them, man. They are the I think they might be the tragic story of this season. Every year there's one team that's a tragedy. Is there anybody that has a more tragic story than them? I don't think so. I think it's them.
You know what, man? I'm actually going to push back on that. There's nothing wrong with just being okay, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with just being okay.
This is so condescending. You're like, you know what, guys? It's fine.
It is fine. I mean, honestly, look, how long did they go without a playoff
series? But
you know what I mean? Like, if you're a fan of the Kings, this is a much more fun team to root for than you've had in a long time. And that's fine. Unfortunately, this is as good as they are going to be.
Oh, this is tough.
You know, like Malik Monk might not be there next year. You're kind of stuck with Sabonis, and I mean that literally. Like, you are in that play-in range until they make an upgrade, and that's just where it is. That being said, it's exciting. It's fun. You're going to be in the mix. You might make the playoffs. But it is condescending.
See, it is very condescending. It's okay to be bad, guys. Siege has a good point. Maybe it's the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies season is pretty tragic as well. It was tragedy from the start. It was tragedy from the offseason, so you almost forget about it. But their season definitely you could consider to be pretty tragic.
Although, Ja vindicated. Self-defense. I guess that high school kid. He lived the dream, beating up a high school kid. It seems awesome.
I can't believe this is where you wanted to go. It's amazing. That's truly amazing. I see some nominees in the chat here. Somebody says the Warriors. I don't see the Warriors story as tragic. I mean, there's a little bit there, but I mean, this is just natural aging. The Suns, I think somebody says pathetic. I agree. It's not tragedy when it's just your own coming up.
The tragedy for the Suns is that all those folks covering the Suns, they were staying up till the middle of the night covering Yuta Watanabe in the World Cup. That's the tragedy of the Suns season.
There you go. I think for me, and I think it is the Kings. I think they're the tragic story. All right, let's take a quick break, Dave. And on the other side, I want to get into some of our big topics here, the contender tiers in the NBA and why Dave has a hot take that there's really only two tiers. That's the take. I separated them a little bit more diligently. We'll go over that on the other side. First, whatever you're getting into this weekend, hop on the Game Time app to purchase your tickets. Or if you don't have plans for this weekend, hop on the Game Time app to find out what's going on in your neck of the woods. You can peruse all these sporting events. Maybe there's a big NBA game in your neck of the woods this weekend. Maybe there's a baseball game you want to get to. But they also have festivals you might not have even known about that's going on in your neighborhood, and you can get tickets right there. Maybe there's a concert you didn't know about. They have flash deals, zone deals, last minute tickets. It's easy to navigate the app, and they have that great feature that I always talk about, the all-in pricing button. You click that one and it already factors in your taxes and your fees, so you don't get to check out and find out that your ticket price is a lot more than what you thought it was. Just click all-in pricing and there's no surprises. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code ALLNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and use code ALLNBA for $20 off. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Also want to tell you about the presenting sponsor of this show. These games matter. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the weekend slate very briefly. These games matter. So you're going to be looking at matchups that every team's going to be highly motivated for. So that gives you a nice baseline to know who to bet on, because you're going to say there's not going to be a team that's resting guys doing this or that. So hop on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and you can bet $5 right now and win 150 instantly, even if you lose. That's bonus bets, 150 when you bet $5, no matter whether you win or lose at DraftKings Sportsbook. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings is now live in your state. So if you did not know, you thought you didn't have it, now you got it. North Carolina, download the app, use that promo code ALLNBA so you can bet $5 and get 150 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code ALLNBA. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, back here, segment two. I'm with my guy, Dave DeFord. It's time to get into some tiering of contenders as we head to the NBA. Nice thing is the 20 playoff teams are set here, so we know who to tier. And I'm going to start that I have, different than Dave, I've got a tier that I just call the contenders, the contenders, and it has two teams in it. And I honestly believe there are two teams that are head and shoulders above everyone. Doesn't mean they're a lock to make the finals, but they should be considered the favorites. And that is, of course, the Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. You can pull that one up if you have it, Emma. I don't know if we do. The Celtics and the Nuggets, that would be the favorites tier to me, Dave. What do you think here?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. The Celtics ran away with the East this year. And all of the questions that we have about this team, we won't get answers about, I don't know, maybe a month. We'll have some answers about the Celtics because
they play the only.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like how many times they play the Pistons this year? We need to see them do it in the playoffs. We need to see them be consistent. And I say this about a team that's made the finals a couple times. You know what I mean? Like, they are a good basketball team. They are not a great one. Now, the Nuggets are a great basketball team. They've got the best player in the world, and that is such an advantage. I think that they are in a tier above everyone by themselves. I would put the Celtics below them in a tier also by themselves. And then I think you've got teams like, you know, Dallas, who I think should scare, maybe scare the Nuggets just a little bit. But yeah, I think that it's pretty clear they are on a collision course for the finals. The Celtics, have you watched much Celtics this year? I mean, they have obliterated the East. They have just completely destroyed the East. And yeah, we have nitpicked them so much about their end of game offense that we rarely get to see. This is actually like one of the big problems with Boston is that I don't have enough film on their end of games. And so what I get to see is not good. You know, it has not been good. The last 5 minutes in close games for them, they fall apart. And I think part of my bias against them is because I just don't have a lot of data. So we're going to find out a lot about them. But yeah, you're right. Those are the two.
So with the Celtics, there is like all the numbers point to them just being this absolute juggernaut. And yet everyone, to your point, is doubting them a little bit. Do you think that doubt would be different if they split the season series with Denver or even won 2-0 against Denver? Do you think that's like the only thing? Because that's really the only team that's kind of like really owned them.
I mean, I think if Jason Tatum was better, we would feel differently. But I mean,
do you think it's just the best true player thing? Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Having the best player in a series is extremely important. I mean, I hate to just break it down that way, but when you play a 7-game series, it really does matter. This is not a one-off. So when you look, how many opportunities or how many teams that come out of the West, like let's say, I don't know, the top four or five teams might come out of the West. Nuggets lose. How many of those series can you say Jason Tatum's going to be the best player?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, here's the thing, though, is he's capable of being the best player in a series.
Absolutely.
And that matters. Because if you look at the teams who have won a championship without the best player, you're really looking at maybe the 2014 Spurs, maybe the 2004 Detroit Pistons. And it was not that they didn't have great players. They had guys that were capable of being the best on the court in any game. But you wouldn't have said they were the best player in the series right, where they went all the way. But there's not really – is there another one that you could say that about, another team where it was definitively, you know, nobody was the best player or could be the best player in a series?
Not top of mind. So. And when you look at, when you think about those, now they fit the profile of the Celtics. Great team. I mean, the Celtics are an amazing team. And, like Drew Holiday, Derek White, like they have like six or seven guys that are real guys. So if a team was going to pull it off as, you know, like we're the better team, we don't have the best player, I think the Celtics would be poised to do it. The problem is their team identity is so built on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, especially end of games, doing a lot of dribbling.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown sucks at dribbling. That's a problem. Yeah. Like you can't build your offense around a guy who can't dribble trying to dribble. I just, that's an issue. You've got Drew Holiday on your team. I don't know why end of games he doesn't touch the ball more. Derek White, who is one of the best
pick and roll, end of game guy.
One of the best pick and roll ball handlers in the NBA. I mean, when it comes to efficiency, he has been that since he was in San Antonio, and he doesn't get the ball enough end of game. So I think that they've got some real, you know, gut check time for them is what happens when the game is close. Do we trust what got us here? Do we trust our offense? Do we trust our teammates? That's a Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown question that has, for me, lingered now through three coaches, their whole career. Do they trust their teammates? Jason Tatum has this tendency to go hero ball, and he's not a great shooter. He just volume shooter, but he's not a great, like, he's not a knockdown guy. He's got this weird shooting form, and it causes him to spray the ball all over the place sometimes. So figure it out. Like, they've got, that's what they've got to figure out. But that's why I have them ahead behind the Nuggets. The Nuggets have shown us enough. They could have not played a game this season, and I would pick them as a favorites.
Yeah. The Nuggets just have the way tougher path. And it's an important thing, because last year, I think the Celtics are benefiting from what the Nuggets benefited from last year, which is they get to, like, walk through the finish line, which means their guys are, even though they're still playing, their guys are healthier and more rested than pretty much any other team, because they're not having to play with that intensity. And then you go and just look at the East, and look, it might shake out that they play the 76ers in round one, and that would be a really bad break for them. Even the Miami Heat, that's a tough break, but whatever, you can deal with it. So you might get a little bit of a tough 1-8 relative, but I just think the East in general doesn't have great threats. And I think that they should be able to get through the East without going to a 7-game series, which I think is an underrated aspect of winning a championship. Can you get to the finals in as few as game as possible so you're not completely worn down? And I just think if you look at the West, very likely whoever comes out of the West is going to have several 6-game, if not 7-game series. And it looks like whoever comes out of the East will probably escape with one, maybe two of those, but they should have one round in there where they win in 4 or 5.
If the Celtics went 12-2 on the way to the finals, would it shock you? Not me.
No, not at all. The East
stinks, man. Like, the East is not good. The way the matchups are set up right now, who knows what's going to happen? Like, I have no belief in the Bucks whatsoever, and that's a team that could maybe push Boston a little bit. Are the Bucks going to get out of the first round? I don't know.
Well,
you know, like, it depends on who they're going to play, right? So, like,
well, it also depends on if Giannis has a calf muscle.
Wow, that's true, and man, that's not great.
I think
you're right. Like, the Celtics are going to have an easy path to the finals, but I don't know if that's a good thing.
I don't, well,
you don't. They again. The end for of them game stuff actually matters. It matters, and to be ready, like, they could go 12-0 and then get swept by the Nuggets. Like, it would not shock me.
It is the irony of this year that they have gotten to 62 and might go as high as 64 wins without really having to test themselves in the clutch very often, as much as you would think. And it's possible that they can get all the way to the finals without having to test themselves in the clutch. But no matter who they play in, that comes out of that West, they're going to be tested in the clutch. And it would be ironic if they – it's like, we're not even going to know the answer about that until they get to that point. And if the answer is wrong, then it's going to be really rough. I'm with you on the Nuggets. There's almost not that much to talk about. If they're healthy, they're connected. They have a great – they have the best player. They play a team game. They know who they are. More than any team in the NBA, they know exactly who they are and what they're doing in every situation, and that's why you want to pick them. I think that one's easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's go to the next tier that I called the challengers. So we have the favorites, the teams that should win. Now you have what I would call the challengers, which are the best teams to challenge the favorites. And what do you know? They both come in the Western Conference to me. It is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I believe in their defense. I think the defense in the playoffs is going to look like the defense in the regular season. I believe their superstar in Anthony Edwards. So that's why I picked them. And then with Dallas, they're another team that has superstar talent. The pieces all fit. And they've been on a heater going into the playoffs. So those are my two teams. Do you agree? Is there somebody you would add? Is there somebody you would subtract?
No, I think that's the two that I would pick next. Dallas is so obvious. You've got the guy who can be the best player in a series, even one with Jokic. And Jokic is the best player in the world, but man, Luka is like right on his heels. So I think having that, and then with Kyrie Irving, the season he's had, I mean, the guy is flirting with 50, 40, 90. He's been very quiet, which is great. The vibe seemed good in Dallas. I think Jason Kidd has done a really good job of getting, you mentioned, you know, the Nuggets being connected. Dallas is connected. And look at how they're feeding off of Luka. I mean, the way that Lively played with him all year, the way that Gafford has come in and just instantly fit. I mean, you give him a rim running big, Luka, a rim running big, and all of a sudden it's off to the races. So with the way that they're defending and the way that they're playing, I think I would put the Mavericks ahead of the Wolves, even though I think the Wolves have a superior team. Anthony Edwards in 2 years, I think he'll be at the level where Luka is now. He's just not there yet.
Where Luka is?
Maybe.
He's going to be at the level of Luka?
Well, hey, all right. Now think about this.
You almost tried to slip that one right through, man. I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, I mean, but think about this. Like, because think about his two-way ability. Anthony Edwards is absolutely a dog on defense. I don't think he's going to be the Luka offensive player, but combined, I mean, I think he's a 30-point-a-game guy who can get you 7 assists. He's going to rebound okay. And but he really defends. I think when you're looking at a quality of player, I tend to look at defense. And maybe I know I'm old school for that.
You are old school with that.
You've got
all I know is the MVP played the defensive player of the year 2 days ago, and it did not look like offense and defense were equally as important in that game.
No. We've been having these battles for years. I mean,
Defense values a lot. It's not equal. Let's go to the wild cards here. And these are teams that I could see winning it all, but they're wild card. It's more like almost a lottery ticket here for me. This is the 76ers. They have Embiid and they have the easy East. You have Oklahoma City, who I keep doubting all year. And I know Thunder fans are just waiting for them to prove me wrong. And look, I'm putting them on here because I think it's possible. The Knicks, again, the East is getting a bump here because I don't think the Knicks can make a finals, mostly just because of their defense and they're tough. But I don't think they could win it. It just seems hard to think they could win it. And then you have the Suns and the Clippers, who I have to put on here for token reasons. Just look at the talent, Dave. Just look at the talent of these teams, you know, if it comes together.
The Clippers are annoying, man. When the Clippers went on this run, I think collectively we all said, oh, Kawhi is back. Kawhi Leonard gives them, you could almost move the Clippers into that higher tier with the Mavericks and the Timberwolves because of Kawhi. He can be the best player in the series if he's healthy. And he looked great this year. When they were at their peak this season, and I think that this is, unfortunately, this is the Clippers' downfall. But when they were peaking, they looked great. The vibes were good. We were all buying into the Clippers. You know, they moved up into that, oh, could they give Denver a run? And then it all fell apart in the most Clipper way. They now look like they don't like each other. All the rumors are about Paul George leaving this summer. James Harden has whatever's going on with him. You know, it's a finger today. It's a toe tomorrow. And now Kawhi is out. So, like, I don't know if you can trust the Clippers to get out of the first round. The Mavericks are going – I think the Mavericks are the worst matchup they could have gotten.
Really?
For some reason, yeah. Because, look, Luka, for some reason, goes at Zoo incredibly hard. I mean, he just absolutely eats his lunch. And if Kawhi is not healthy, you don't have anyone who can guard – Luka at all. I mean, PG is going to try, but now all of a sudden your defense is down a guy and Kyrie's going to cook. So they just depend so much on everyone being healthy and everyone not, I mean, like James Harden cannot be an astronaut in the first round of the playoffs. Like they need everybody.
Here's the tough thing for, and it's true of the Dallas as well, but it's definitely true of the Clippers. I think the three toughest teams, as evidenced by how I tiered this off, is Denver, Minnesota, and Dallas. If you're the Clippers, you have to go through all three. You're going to play Dallas in round one, and if you win, you've got Denver in round two, and if you win that, you probably got Minnesota in round three. That's really hard to do, and they're, I guess, capable of doing it. But look, No team in the NBA has gotten the benefit of the doubt more than this Clippers team. And I just am like, part of me goes, no, they're going in this tier because I can't keep giving them the benefit of the doubt. The same goes for the Suns. I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt until this version of them proves me wrong. And that's why I have them here. Do you agree, though, real quick about the 76ers and the Knicks? Would you be blown away if either of those teams won the East?
No. I believe in the Knicks big time. I mean, when you have a team that plays the way they do, their offensive rebound schemes are excellent. I mean, this team is so locked in. And I think Tom Thibodeau, unfortunately, in a year where there's too many good coaches that are doing too good of a job, Tom Thibodeau has been totally overlooked in what he's done and what he's done specifically with Jalen Brunson. I mean, Jalen Brunson is a legit, he's a borderline first team All-NBA candidate. He's a top five MVP candidate potentially. And I think Tom Thibodeau has been instrumental in that. I believe in the Knicks big time. They've got size. They've got grit in a way that like the Celtics don't somehow, you know, I just for some reason it makes me believe in them quite a bit. The Suns, I don't believe in at all. The Sixers, yes. Joel Embiid, when he was with them, lifted them to a different level. And when he was out, they looked completely lost. So if Embiid is going to be able to be healthy, he gives them such a chance. And we never really got to see what it looks like when you add Buddy Hield to Joel Embiid post-ups. I think that this is something that if they can unlock it here in the first round, maybe, they could go on a run. I mean, if they beat the Celtics, it would not surprise me. Again, I my belief in the Celtics is too low for how good they are. I just can't help it.
Would you be blown away if the Thunder made the finals?
I would. Yeah, me I would. Too. Because the size thing, it is an issue for them. It's going to be an issue. I fundamentally disagree with their belief that you can get destroyed on the glass and still win basketball games. You have to shoot at an unsustainable rate. You have to make it an unsustainable rate. I just don't see that happening in the playoffs when, you know, your rotations are tighter. You're not getting bench time. You know, the thing is, they have so much talent that I do think that they take advantage of other teams when they are running out lesser players. They are a good basketball team. They're extremely well coached. But Chet Holmgren doesn't have enough meat on his bones to handle Nikola Jokic. So if they run into the Nuggets, they're not getting there. Yeah. Can they make it out of the first round is, to me, the bigger question. Like, if they get the Lakers, would it
I think Lakers or Pelicans.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. I think their two most likely matchups are their two toughest. So it's rough for them. Let's go to the upset squads. This is the next tier, the upset squads. These are teams that I think could win a round and play spoiler, even to the best teams. But I don't think that they can come out. Like, I don't think they can go that far. That is the Pacers, the Pelicans, the Lakers and Warriors, the Heat, the Magic, and the Cavs. Now, it depends a little bit. Each of these teams, it depends a little bit on who they match up with. But all of those teams, the Cavs, I kind of snuck in there. They're the one I probably believe in the least. And they might actually end up being a favorite, not an underdog. But all of those teams are teams that I could see winning a series against a higher seeded team and completely changing the landscape. That's why they're on the list.
If the Warriors made a run and made the finals, like, I know it would piss you off, but would it surprise you? No. Like, I think that this is my thing with the Warriors. And I'll never, ever count out Steph Curry. He can be the best player in the world any single night. And when you've got a guy like that, it gives you a chance. Draymond's defense this season has been completely under the radar. Everyone's been distracted, obviously, because he's done a bunch of crazy stuff. But he's been excellent. I mean, he is just very
he really
good.
Has.
Jackson Davis
love him.
Unlocked a lot for them. They have needed an athlete for a while. Kuminga as an athlete, when he's scoring, look at how much easier Steph Curry's life is. You can see a path to them making the conference finals. And I apologize that there's an emergency happening on my block. I'm sorry, guys. I'm stuck in a tree right now, and they're coming to get me down. City life, man.
That's awesome.
But I could see them getting it all to come together for, you know, 20 games, and they could make a run. I don't believe it's going to happen. But if it did, number one, it'd be a great story. But number two, it wouldn't shock me all that much, because I know what this team can be when everything is firing together.
Yeah.
When Klay is hitting shots, when Draymond is defending like this, but can they make it out of the play-in? That's my thing about this team.
They honestly probably not, but maybe. Right. And that's why they're here. And I see in the chat, somebody says, so Thunder have a size problem, but not the Warriors. The Warriors are in this tier. They're in a tier below. If they were in a higher tier, we would be talking about they have a huge size problem.
Yeah, they have a huge size problem. No, yeah. This is actually the Warriors for years now have had a huge size problem. I mean, this is like, look, Kevon Looney fell off a cliff. He just fell off a cliff in the last 18 months. If he was healthy, this team would not be in the play-in at all. If they had gone out and gotten, you know, if they had gotten Daniel Gafford, this team is not in the play-in. They have been undersized for way too long. Draymond Green as your full-time five, that is not like a real basketball team. You did not do a good job.
Try to run them off here in the short dose. You got to win the whole game like that.
Yeah, it's an off-speed pitch. They were playing. Look, man, the death lineup was playing like 4 or 5 minutes a game. This is not something that you can run out there for 48 minutes. So, and especially not now. He's too old.
Not now. Yep. Well, just the league has added, especially the West has added some monsters in the front court, including Nikola Jokic. So you're not going up against, you know, the guys you were going up against 10 years ago. Real quickly, we got to round this out. The cursed, I have a whole tier here that are just the cursed teams, and that's Sacramento and Milwaukee. Nobody, by the way, as we were going through this list, nobody in the chat pointed out that Milwaukee had not popped up yet. And the reason is because I put them in this cursed category. Sacramento lost two rotation pieces and two of their most important floor spacers. They're out. And I think the same is true of the Bucks. Now, can the Bucks surprise us? Can they win a round? Can they win two? Maybe. But here's the thing. Giannis's injury to me, it's hilarious how under the radar this has gone. I can't believe it's not more of a conversation. It's like, oh, he's out for a couple games. He'll get a week off. I'm terrified of him playing. I think the most likely outcome is that he plays in these games and looks horrible. People don't extend him that grace that he's dealing with what should probably keep him out. But my second biggest fear, Dave, is that he hurts himself. Those are like the two most likely outcomes for me is he plays but plays terribly, or he plays and hurts himself. Plays and plays well to me is like a distant third possibility given this injury.
Well, it's kind of like last year, you know, when he got hurt in the first round. People have just completely glossed over that
he played.
Because he came back and played and he looked awful. A calf injury is scary.
So scary, man.
And especially for a guy who his game is, I mean, he's so explosive. He's got to be able to trust the calf to be able to be effective. 2 weeks is not a long time. I mean, did they put out any sort of grading on this calf strain? Because I will say this.
Which is suspicious.
Right. It is suspicious. Because calf strains, like a grade one strain is basically, it's a cramp. Like a calf strain is essentially a cramp. And a grade one. If it's a grade three, that's a tear. And that is a whole different thing. That's a 4 to 6 week recovery. That is, rest and rehab. Like that's not playing basketball. So, I just think that they have had a cursed season. They hired the wrong coach twice. that's bad.
They took a risk. They took a big swing on the Dame trade, and it just looks like it's not coming up well. And here's the thing, Dave, even if Giannis wasn't hurt, they would not have been in my top tiers because I just don't think that team gelled, the way that it needed to. And so now you're telling me they've lost half their games over the last 3 weeks and their best player is injured. Just like all those things are alarms to me. They're cursed.
Let me ask you, if they had just run it back, same team, right? Drew Holiday's out there, Mike Budenholzer. Wouldn't you feel much better about him?
100%. And this is, I remember David Locke, who covers the Utah Jazz, once had a theory that I really buy. And it was that Utah team is going to be known as a failure, the Gobert-Mitchell one. And I don't think it would have won a title, but I don't think it was inevitable that they kept losing in the first or second round. They just, sometimes you get a tough matchup, the ball bounces one way or the other. And there are teams that just keep their hat in the ring year after year. And one of the years they break through. And I think Milwaukee in 2021 is a little bit of that story where it's not that they got lucky. It's just that it was their year. And if you keep running it back, it might've been their year two out of five times. And right. It's like, maybe it's one out of five, maybe it's zero out of five, maybe it's two out of five, but you would break through a time or two. And that's all you can hope for, really. And when you try to like, hey, we want even slightly better odds, you're just as likely as creating slightly worse odds for yourself.
This is why I value the Denver Nuggets and the way that they've gone about business and keeping right. their team together, man. Like, this stuff does matter. Like, basketball is a chemistry sport. It does yeah. matter that you keep these guys together, but also you've got to have pieces that fit. And like, my biggest issue with the Bucks is, who are they? Who yeah. are they? I have known the Bucks as a juggernaut defense, right? That could still score on you, right? But right. a juggernaut yeah. defense, you yeah. are not scoring, and now they're not that. Damian Lillard, it's actually, his defense is pathetic.
Yeah.
It's not sad. It is pathetic. It lacks effort. It's like playing defense without integrity. Like, I mean, yeah. honestly, it's like dishonorable defense. It
Coming
sucks.
In hot.
Yeah. I hate it so much.
To move on, the last two teams on here, they're just the token teams. They have zero chance of coming out of the play-in, but if they somehow do come out of the play-in, they get swept, and that's the Bulls and the Hawks. We don't even need to talk about them, Dave. And the Bulls have been a great story. I've liked them, but your best-case scenario is a 1-8 matchup with the Celtics. They're in a different class. Toast. There's nothing there. So that's the team.
Although the Hawks, like, for some reason, they give the Celtics the business for some reason.
That would be the ultimate. That, they're not coming out of the play-in, but if they somehow did, that would be an absolutely the funniest 1-8 upset.
I would love that. I would love that so much if Trae Young took the Hawks from the play-in to the conference finals. Man, that would be amazing.
That really would be amazing. Right as they're ready to blow it up too and reset it in Atlanta. All right, let's move on because I know I got to get you out of here. We're going to go to our segment we do every week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, which is Who Won the Week? Where we ask who won the week in the NBA. I'm going to give you four nominees, and you're going to tell me who won. But first, I got to tell you who went undefeated this week, and there are four teams. The Mavericks went 4-0. The Nuggets, Pacers, and Sixers went 3-0 this week. So we had four teams go undefeated since last Friday. The Mavs, though, played the most games, and they beat Miami, Golden State, Houston, and Charlotte over that span. Pretty good stretch, man. Mavs, the hottest team in the NBA, I would say, heading into the playoffs. All right, so my nominees, Jalen Brunson, who averaged 40.5 points per game. You have Luka Doncic, who averaged 35-10-10. CJ McCollum, who averaged 31 points a game in some very important games for the Pelicans. He came up clutch for them when they needed him most, 31 a game. And then Jokic, who had 29-13-8. And he shot 65 from the field, 86 from three over the stretch. He missed like four shots this week. So those are your four: Luka, Jalen Brunson, CJ McCollum, Nikola Jokic. Where would you go?
I'm going to go with Luka. I mean, you said it. The Mavs are the hottest team in basketball right now. And they kept themselves out of the play-in, got themselves into a series with the Clippers that I think is an ideal matchup for them. Like, they know that team very well. And I think the Clippers are not going to be prepared for the Mavericks. So yeah. I give it to Luka. Luka has made a strong case as the number two guy in the MVP race to me. And this past week really solidified it.
Right. And the conversation's kind of turning towards, why is he second? Why can't he be first? Which I welcome. I think it's good conversation. Bring it on. And I'm curious to see how the vote goes now with how many big name people have kind of come to his corner, including Tim Legler. And our MVP show is not going to be till Monday, so you won't know who his official pick is till Monday. But right after this show, you can find out who his pick is for Defensive Player of the Year, as well as Sixth Man of the Year. We have a special coming out here in 7 minutes where we debate those two things. You're going to want to check those out. We also did Coach of the Year, and we also did, what was the other one we've done so far? Most Improved Player. We've done those ones so far, so you can check those out on our YouTube channel. Dave? You got to get to a baseball game or something. Is that right?
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm a man of many hats and got to go produce a baseball show.
You're the best, man. It was great. We haven't potted in like a year.
And we used to do this every
all
day.
All the time.
We got to get back.
We cut our teeth podcasting together, to be honest
right.
with you. So
late
there
night,
you go.
Drinking bottles of wine.
There you go. Self-proclaimed fun guy. This was a fun show, Dave. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for joining me. Everybody hit that like button. Legs is back on Monday, and it is playoff week. You're not going to want to miss out. We'll see you
I had then. Some big legs to fill today.
There you go.
bear.